When it comes to your finances, go for the credit card that's always there for you. With 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, that means no more waiting for, quote, normal business hours just to get a hold of someone. We're talking real service from real people whenever you need it. Get the customer service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card. With Fidelity Wealth Management, a dedicated advisor can work with you on a comprehensive plan to help you reach your wealth's full potential. Plus, you'll have access to specialists in estate planning strategies. So you're not just growing and protecting your wealth, you're sharing it. More at fidelity.com/wealth. Investment minimums apply. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE SIPC. Welcome to the Jill on Money Show. It's Monday, June 5th, and we are here answering financial questions from anyone who's got something going on. Now, sometimes it's a big decision like, oh my gosh, I've been offered a new job. Or sometimes it's a more amorphous, like, gosh, I'm not really happy with where I am and I want to figure out how to get to a different place. I need an off ramp. I need an on ramp. How do I change my career? All those things, all those kinds of questions. From the very big picture down to the little minutia, we want to hear from you. Just go to the website, jillonmoney.com. Click on the Contact Us button and let us know if you would be willing to come on the air live with us. While you're on the website, there's a lot of free stuff. There's the free weekly newsletter, comes out every Friday. Mark does a great job with that. There are also links to our radio show, our other podcasts, some videos of TV segments, the blog, the resources section, all that stuff for free. If you want to spend a few bucks, well, then you can subscribe to our brand new service. It's called Jill on Money Live. That's where you have access to quarterly live webinars and some special bonus content, some extra interviews. And our brand new special bonus content that just went up is an interview that I conducted with Mike Quincy. He is an automotive writer for, yes, wait for it, Consumer Reports. He's got all this great information, the state of the car market right now, what you need to know if you're going to buy an electric vehicle, an EV. Mark, were you convinced to buy an EV after our conversation with Mike or not?
Oh yeah, I'm not opposed to it. I would definitely entertain it if I ever buy another car. That's the question.
Right, because Mark might drive his car for 10 or 12 more years. By then, maybe you will have self-driving car. Maybe that'll be the case. You never know.
I'm not interested in that.
I am so interested in that, as you know, Mark. It's all I want is to be driven around by someone else. So it's also called the bus. So the M57 and the M5 are my favorite self-driving vehicles, which are driven by people, but at least I don't have to drive. So that's a good thing. Mark, you never take the bus, do you?
No, not true. I love the bus. If I don't have to be anywhere like on a deadline and it doesn't matter if I get stuck in traffic, I find nothing more relaxing than riding a bus around New York City.
I completely agree. Great people watching. Great way to sort of see the world go by. I'm with you. But again, if you're in a rush, you got to take the subway. All right. Enough of our chatter. Let's talk to Brad, who's on the line from Oregon, and we're going to find out if he ever takes the bus. Brad, A, do you have an EV? And B, do you take the bus ever?
No, I do not have an EV, although I would like one. And I don't take the bus anymore. Where I live, there's only one bus, and I don't have to take that anymore because now I have a car.
Oh, very good. All right. Well, so what's going on? How can we help you out, Brad?
Well, I'm looking to buy the cabin / condo I've been living in for 14 years now. The owner is selling, and I would like to purchase it.
Okay, this is exciting. Tell us a little bit about yourself. How old are you?
I'm 53. I work for the post office.
How much do you earn?
Right now, I'm at 62.5. By the time I retire, it's probably going to be around 85,000.
When exactly are you looking at retirement that you know this so well?
Oh, well, that would be at full retirement age. I kind of got a late start on my second retirement.
What is the time horizon? You're 53 now. When would the second retirement occur?
this would be the second retirement. My first, I cashed out my 401k in my early 30s and went traveling around.
Oh my gosh. I presume you're alone in that endeavor, because it doesn't seem like something you would like, oh, I'm going to blow out everything, spend all my money. Are you single or partnered right now?
Single.
Okay. And when you say you'll be at 85,000, at what age would you get to 85,000? What age would that be?
It actually would be in about 5 years.
Okay.
So
all right,
I'll
that's
max
great.
Out in about 5 years, and that's averaging in colas and the such.
Okay. As part of the United States Postal Service, are you putting money into a retirement plan?
Yeah. The job I had before here, they had a retirement plan and I was contributing there.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I came to the post office, I've been contributing since day one, mostly just to the match. They mm-hmm. match dollar for dollar up to 5%. So I've been at 5% for a long time.
Good.
And I've started to up it because every year we get a step increase. So every year when I get the step increase, I put 1% more away.
Oh, that's good. So how much is in there total right now?
Total in the TSP is 92,000.
You will be entitled to a pension, right?
Yes.
Okay. So when you said retirement at age 67, you would be at 85,000-ish, let's call it. What would the pension payout be? That same 85,000, or it's a fraction of that?
No, the estimated pension, the low estimate from, I talked to my union rep, said it would be $1,700 a month.
Okay. Great. And then what would you receive in Social Security at that full retirement age if you look ahead?
$2,329 at current numbers.
Okay. So you'll have about $4,000 a month, which would be better, not quite as good as $400,000 a month. So $4,000 a month at age 67. Like, what do you think you need to live on right now, Brad?
Well, right now I'm living on $2,600 a month, because that's basically what I bring in.
Awesome. So that's great. Okay. What's the amount of money in the old retirement plan that you said you had?
Well, when I started with the post office, I rolled everything
okay.
over into the TSP account.
Perfect. Perfect. Okay. So now we have $2,600 a month in expenses. You're making $62,500. And then here's my question. What is the cost of buying this condo?
It's going to be $160,000.
Okay. And do you have the money to put down on this, like to put a down payment?
No, not in liquid funds. I would have to take a TSP
loan,
residential loan. Yeah.
What are the terms on that? Let's say that we think this is completely like doable, and let's say that I needed, let's call it $32,000 to put down. What are the terms that you have to borrow that at?
Yeah, it's 3.63% currently.
Wow. Okay. And this is the place you want. You've lived there for 14 years, so you want this, right? Like, we're not screwing around here. This is like, you love this place. You want to stay there, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So what else do I need to know? Do you have any cash that's floating around at all?
Not to amount to hill of beans. I've got about $1,000 in savings, and I've got some credit card debt and a personal loan. So I'm not in the greatest position financially.
Hmm. What's the credit card debt right now?
Credit cards are $21,000 at roughly 15%.
Mm-hmm.
And the personal loan is currently at $3,840 at 5%.
Okay. So what's the rent right now?
The current rent is $450 a month, which is well below market value. I've been there for a while. I do some of the work around the property, so I get a much lower rate.
Yeah.
And
because it's like a little bit of a hybrid, like they're sort of like, oh, you're keeping the place up so we don't have to pay someone else to do that. And as a result, you've got a cheaper rent, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And with the way the rental market is here in Oregon, I would save money purchasing the condo monthly than moving out and renting a place.
Right. And they're definitely selling it, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's say someone else buys this, you're kicked out. What would the rent, market rate rent, be for you?
Market rate rent is going to be 15.
The mortgage will be about 900 a month.
Okay, so the mortgage will be 900 a month, but there's probably, is there like a homeowners association or a condo fee or something like that that we have to pay also?
Yeah, the homeowners association is $89 a month.
Okay, and taxes will be property taxes on it, do you know?
Property taxes, it's going to be roughly $2,500, I believe.
Okay. So let's say that right now, if you pull the trigger on this, Brad, if you pull out 35 grand, right, you borrow that. First of all, then you put that amount of money down, but I'm a little concerned about the credit card debt. Where did that come? Like, how did that accumulate? Was that like, are you chasing that from like years ago? Is it something that is new? How did you accumulate the 21 grand of debt?
Well, some of that is car repairs.
Mm-hmm.
Some of that is I bought some stuff at the beginning of the pandemic before I knew it was going to be such a bad pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't had a chance to sell that stuff.
Okay. But you're getting raises, and so your cash flow is improving. Right, you know, going forward. So that's the good news.
Every year it's an automatic pay increase.
Okay. Mark, what do you think? I mean, he's going to have an extra $1,000 a month anyway because of just he's in a situation now that's not going to be able to continue. I'm shockingly thinking that he should buy it, if you can believe that, for all the variety of reasons, like he has debt, he has this. But it's not going to, in other words, the cash flow is not going to improve anyway. No matter what, you're going to be under pressure for the cash flow because you're going to be paying $1,500 a month for rent, or you're going to be paying $1,500 to own this place. One way, you know, in one sense, the $1,500 comes without any strings. Let me give you one other option. What sounds better? I'm going to ask both Mark and Brad this. What sounds better? Take 35 grand out, make that the down payment. It's a pretty reasonable rate in terms of what you have to pay yourself back, but we have a big mortgage. We've got to support that, but you're set and you're going to stay there. Okay. The alternative is instead of taking 35 grand out and borrowing that for the down payment, you take the same 35 grand out, you pay off the credit card debt, you pay off the personal loan, and you get yourself ready to pay higher rent going forward, the liabilities look much better. So, Brad, which one sounds better to you first? And then I'm going to see what Mark thinks.
Well, in my mindset, if I'm taking money out of the TSP, reinvesting it in another investment where the condo cabin would be an investment vehicle, and if I paid off my credit cards and then went to rent someplace else, then that money's just going to rent and it's not building up any type of equity. In a house.
Mm-hmm. But what about the feeling like of being unburdened? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, you've been living under this credit card debt for a while. How much do you pay monthly for the credit card debt and the personal loan?
I'm paying $500, $600, $700, depending on the month. I get overtime, so if I've worked some overtime, I'll throw some extra at it, but I'm aggressively going after those.
Mark, what do you think?
I would take out the money for a down payment on the house. I feel like he needs to have that secure. He'll eventually be able to refinance. The payment's going to go even lower. In the meantime, I would drop down your contribution rate because I know you're going to have a pension in the future. I would drop down to 5% and throw every extra dollar at the debt.
Me too. I would not put any more than the 5% in. All right. So here's what the game plan looks like. And obviously, let me just say that I, Jill Schlesinger, could never live with the credit card debt. So I would obviously opt for the I would rather throw my money away on rent and be debt free because I'm a freak and it would be uncomfortable for me. That doesn't mean that's the right decision. That's why I wanted to sort of ask you which one feels better. So, okay, you get the loan, get your 35 grand out, okay? Put the 20% down, right? $32,000 you're going to put down. The extra $3,000 that you have, just add it to your savings for right now, okay? Drop that TSP to 5%. Do not go beyond it. And then we're going to have to see how your cash flow looks. I mean, it's going to be tight for a little while. It really is. And so please, 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 just if you do this and you're ready to do it, and then we're going to make a plan as soon as you can work a little bit of extra overtime, as soon as possible. We need to get rid of this debt. This is imperative, because, you know, now you're really on the line, right? Now we've really got some risk here. You're going to work till, you know, you're going to work 14 years. You're going to get to your full retirement age. Hopefully, as Mark said, you'll be able to refi. But to do this really means that you have got to live a little bit more frugally, and you're really, and you're taking a risk. It's a risk that is maybe worth it for you. For others listening, it may not be worth it for you to have that kind of risk on the table. But Brad, if you can sort of get religion on this, then I think we can help you make it happen.
All right. Well, that sounds like a plan.
All right. Now, so do you have a mortgage broker already, or are you, what's happening with like the negotiation with the, on the 160?
Well, I've gotten pre-approved for mortgage loans, but the, we're waiting on some legal wrangling for the owner to be able to sell the units separately, because there's five units on the lot. He's working with a lawyer to separate them into individual owned units. And
so it's a little bit of a process right now, right?
Yeah, we're playing the waiting game.
Okay. So as you're waiting, even as you're waiting, I would like to suggest that you immediately drop your TSP to 5%. Every extra dollar goes into savings right now. Or to, you know, starting to put some extra money down on the debt, the credit card debt. I mean, I'm not so crazy about paying down the credit card debt right now. If this thing is happening, you're going to just have to take your time with that. But, you know, I would go down to 5% in the TSP, all additional cash flow, you know, maybe split it between, if you said, you know, dropping my retirement down or working a little overtime, every time you get a dollar, half goes into savings, half goes down to the 15% credit card debt. I want to hear more. If this does not work out, if he can't sell it to you, then give us a holler back, because I think we have different choices to make at that point. All right.
All right. Sounds good.
So if this is one of these weird cases, normally you'll not hear us say, go take money out of your retirement account to buy a home. This is very particular to Brad. If you want us to have a conversation about what's particular to you, you've got to go to our website, jillonmoney.com, jillonmoney.com, and then click the contact us button. Let us know if you'd be willing to come on the air. While you're there, there's all sorts of fun stuff. We've already talked about that. So just be sure that if you're listening to this, I don't want you to take this advice for you without getting in touch with us. Got it? Great. All right. Don't forget to leave us a rating and review on Apple, and do something nice for someone else today. Change your work, change your wealth, change your life. Thank you for listening. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Do you know a high schooler who is a natural leader and loves to give back to their community? The Leukemia and Lymphoma Society's Student Visionaries of the Year program might be the perfect opportunity. Forming strong teams to support them, Student Visionaries of the Year candidates fundraise for the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society in honor of a pediatric blood cancer survivor in their local community. This 7-week philanthropic leadership development program helps students gain valuable life skills like project management, communication, financial literacy, and entrepreneurship. Not to mention, it looks great on college applications. But most importantly, it's a chance for students to engage in meaningful work within their community and make a real impact on the lives of blood cancer patients and their families. Learn more about Student Visionaries of the Year or nominate a student at lls.org/students. That's lls.org/students.